So we should just face up to that right off the bat. It's been a long time, I have no idea. You know, I used to do a much simpler kind of setup. I used to just, you know, plug in some keyboards and run it all through a mixing board. Now I got it all complicated. I got all this crap going on, computers and shit. So, you know, that just makes it much harder to figure out what to do. Trying to get everything working properly. Anyway, so, yes, Mark, who's actually listening? Mark says in the chat room, I'll tell you the truth, Mark. It's you and nobody else. There's you and there's me talking. You might as well be, like, on the phone or something. The best thing I can say is that I'm recording this for my posterior, and I'll play it back over the station. You know, so people will hear this. If somebody wants to call in, Mark's like, oh dear. Well, at least I know that you're hearing me because you're responding in the chat room. You know, that's just the way it goes. We publicize this, I publicize it to a certain extent, and, you know, nobody wants to tune in. And it's one of the reasons I stopped doing the live broadcast, because people would tune in when they felt like it, and I'd try and publicize these broadcasts for weeks and do all sorts of emails and stuff, and then most of the people were tuning in to hear the rebroadcast. So I stopped trying to kill myself over it. But anyway, that's okay. You know, this is a chance for me to broadcast live. Think of it as a rehearsal. Think of it as a practice. Mark says, damn these humanoids. See, I have to read this stuff to you because Mark is just typing it into the chat room. And speaking of the chat room, even though you're not listening live and you're hearing this back as a rebroadcast, I want you to go to www.weirdos.com. I want you to join in the chat room. I want you to see the other weirdos that are chatting right now. And Mark will probably be there chatting away because he's in the chat room like twice as often as I am. But it was a great thing that Mark did to set up this chat room on the website. So that's a wonderful thing. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to change the music here because I was getting really bored with that. So I've got some things I want to read to you today. Because it's been so long since I've done a live broadcast that I've forgotten how to do them. So I'm not going to rely on myself to just make some shit up. I'm going to read you something. So this is a little bit of George Orwell, a wonderful writer. And Mark's giving me lots of comments while I'm trying to talk. So rather than looking at the stupid chat, I'm going to read this essay. And this is an essay that George Orwell wrote on language. It's called Politics and the English Language. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a little too long for that. And I'm just going to read you some of the examples that he gives of bad uses of the English language. Now keep in mind, this essay was written 60 years ago. Written the year after the end of the war. So it's pretty different than language that we might hear today. And yet it is. I think Orwell really does have something to say about language here. So let me read you one of the passages that he picks out as typical uses of language that suck. Okay, so here's one by Professor Harold Lasky. And this is from Harold's essay in Freedom of Expression. Harold says, I am not indeed sure whether it is not true to say that the militant who once seemed not unlike the 17th century Shelley had not become out of an experience ever more bitter in each year, more alien to the founder of that Jesuit sect which nothing could induce him to tolerate. Pretty bad. And, Mark says he knows this essay. You know this essay, Mark? Well, you're gonna love it. So anyway, let me read you what Orwell has to say about that particular passage. He says, Professor Lasky uses five negatives in 53 words. One of these is superfluous, making nonsense of the whole passage. And in addition, there is the slip, alien for akin, making further nonsense, and several avoidable pieces of clumsiness, which increase the general vagueness. I agree. Just silliness. Here's another one. Above all, we cannot play ducks and drakes with a native battery of idioms which prescribes egregious collocations of vocables as the basic put up with, for tolerate, or put at a loss for bewilderment. So let's see what Orwell has to say about that passage. He says, Professor Hoffman plays ducks and drakes with a battery, which is able to write prescriptions. And while disapproving of the everyday phrase put up with, he is unwilling to look egregious up in the dictionary to see what it means. So there you go. Rather than read you the next passage, I want to read you some of the other stuff that Orwell has to say about language. He says, it is clear that the decline of language must ultimately have political and economic causes. It is not due simply to the bad influence of this or that individual writer, but an effect can become a cause, reinforcing the original cause and producing the same effect in an intensified form, and so on indefinitely. A man may take to drink because he feels himself to be a failure, and then fail all the more completely because he drinks. That is just so true, don't you think? I certainly think that that is just so true. It's all too true. So, there you go. Welcome. Oh, boy. Yes, we're really having some fun here tonight. It really is great to be back live with you all. And it's nice to have Mark here. Oh, Mark points out that he speaks like that all the time. Well, that's one of the things that Orwell talks about as well. You know, you shouldn't worry too much about that. You see, he points out that basically we all do this because it's easy. It's easy to do that. You see, he says, you're not obliged to go to all the trouble. And, of course, by that he means to all the trouble of speaking the way that he might like you to speak. He says, you can shirk it by simply throwing your mind open and letting the ready-made phrases come crowding in. The will construct, they will construct your sentences for you, even think your thoughts for you. To a certain extent, and at need, they will perform the important. short service of partially concealing your meaning, even from yourself. It is at this point that the special connection between politics and the debasement of language becomes clear. He even points out at a certain point that he himself is guilty of using this kind of language. Let's see if I can find where he says that. Well, you'll just have to trust me, he does say that. Oh, I don't know. He points out that he himself, in the article, in this essay, is guilty of some of the things that he's complaining about. And you know, that's the way it goes. It's very hard to use language carefully. So, how do we use language more effectively, according to Orwell? Mark is saying that he is silly because he can be. And I agree. Let's be silly because we can be. But anyway, just to finish up with Orwell here. We have Orwell giving us some ways to look at our language so that we can be sure that we're not doing the kinds of things that he is complaining about. So the first thing that he says is, never use a metaphor or a simile or other figure of speech which you are used to seeing in print. Next thing he says is, never use a long word where a short one will do. And then he says, if it is possible to cut the word out, always cut it out. And then he says, never use the passive where you can use the active. Furthermore, rule number 5, according to Orwell, is never use a foreign phrase, a scientific word, or a jargon word, if you can think of an everyday English equivalent. And the final rule, he says, is break any of these rules sooner than say anything outright barbarous. Which is an interesting idea. And what I was thinking about this is that it actually is kind of the rules that we now use for advertising. You know, I worked in advertising a little bit, and when you're trying to come up with a good advertising slogan, a lot of these rules apply. For instance, the fourth one, never use the passive where you can use the active. Because, you know, in advertising, you want everything to be exciting and immediate and just exactly right. You want to say, go get them, not please go and get them, you know. So, it's interesting that in 1946, these kinds of things weren't really being applied to advertising so much. But now, it's the essence of what we do. You know, if it is possible to cut a word out, always cut it out. That's exactly what you would say for an advertising slogan. We are weirdos. has become exciting for me again. For a while, I felt like maybe I was wrong to be a weirdo. Maybe you felt this way too, that maybe being a weirdo is a bad thing and that it separates you from the world. But I would say, forget that bullshit. Being a weirdo is the greatest gift that we can possibly be given. Interpersonal communication, and I think body language is an interesting thing to talk about here. You know, when I am broadcasting to you, of course, no one's listening right now besides Mark, but when the other people are listening to this, they can't see my body language either. Of course, I can do video podcasting. Normally, you don't know what I'm doing with my body. I mean, you don't even know if I'm wearing clothing. Which I'm not really, by the way. Would you believe I'm wearing a garbage bag? It's really true. I'm wearing a garbage bag right now. Sounds like something out of Samuel Beckett. So, now Mark is telling me that this is like a sermon. No, Mark. This is not like a sermon. This is like me wandering around in my mind, pulling up whatever shit I happen to stumble over. If you'd like me to do a sermon, I'll do a sermon for you.
What?
we know. And that then is the final word that was spoken as the earth appeared and disappeared before my very ears, because I could not see the body language. So endeth the lesson. But the broadcast is not over. The broadcast is just beginning here. Let me see what I've got for you here. First of all, I'm going to change the delay of my voice. And then we're going to start with a little here. Mark is criticizing my sermon because he says that a priest would refrain from cussing. Cussing, no less. He said, cussing. Yes, in America, Mark, we don't use the word cussing. We call them swears or cursing. I don't have one. Pluto sucks, but it doesn't suck so bad that we're going to kill ourselves because we don't know what's going to happen when we die. So that's what happens, as Hamlet points out. We don't know. So rather than being able to do what we're going to do, we call it home. Waste time. I'm sick of it all! I'm sick of everything! No, I did that. Actually, if you look back on the older podcasts, you can find the one called I'm Sick of It. So, no need to repeat that one. Anyway, I think I'm going to be closing up the broadcast here.